Hey everybody, just wanted to give you a heads up that some of this recording, we had some technical difficulties, so some tracks were re-recorded, so if it seems a little patchy, I apologize. But we have a new theme song written by my good friend Ben Tomlinson, and I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to The High Kind, and I'm Huntley. I'm with David tonight. Andy is currently being held on a black site. He's not really being held on a black site, but...
Oh, no, he is. We're just trying to keep that on the down low, and while we figure a way to hack his prison cell or wherever the fuck he's trapped, we're still determining all the details. Don't worry. We'll get him out.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. Yeah, next week to grace us with his theories and his divining rods.
Mm-hmm. Very insightful.
I still think it's hacking when we're talking about theories, but hey.
A little bit of hacking. That's okay, though.
But seeing that we are kicking off and tomorrow we will be in October, we're going to start doing a little less aliens for the month and just do more traditional Halloween stuff. And I thought we would start off by talking about haunted lakes. And there's some interesting stories with these haunted lakes. Like the big one will be Lake Lanier in Georgia. That will be how we end it because that's the one that has such a plethora of stuff going on with it that intrigued me. But let's kick it off with, let's talk about the Greater Lake Area, the Great Lakes of Michigan. And it actually connects back to our very first episode. But this is, these are just little stories I picked up along the way. But there's a little island, Mackinac Island, I probably butchered that. But it is in Michigan on the Great Lakes, and it has a little island that used to be sacred land to Native American tribes, and it's a big tourist spot now. Like, I think it gets like 7 million tourists during tourist season. Oh, wow. During the summer. A lot of people. It gets a lot of people. But originally, it was considered sacred land by a local Native American tribe. And this is where the first weirdness starts to come on, is by the time the settlers started to approach the area, that tribe just mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, just wow. Like the just entire like, tribe?
Just yeah, just crashed. Left. Like, we're not sure if there's anything sinister. They just picked up and left or something happened. But the reason why it's so weird is the only thing that they left behind was the bones of their past tribe chiefs. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was all that people could find. No pottery, not any, a bunch of other artifacts, just the bones of what they assumed were the chiefs of the tribe. Mm-hmm. And like sacred land, like to them, let's just put it this way, like the word that they used, it translates to great spirit. So this wasn't just some little field that they set up shop in. This was apparently something of great importance to them, and then they just, you know, they bailed on it.
Mm-hmm.
But more things happen at this island, and one of the stories, it's like people say that the land is just soaked in blood, and this is why. During the Battle of 1812, the island was the site of many battles between the British and the Americans. The British basically came in there and took it over because it was a strategic location with lots of trading and stuff happening there. And they took it over, and tons of American soldiers marched into it and just got slaughtered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then after we got it back, The island was used as a Confederate sympathizer prison. So people up north that sympathized with the South were held in this prison. And yeah. And then it also, like, tons of deaths happened here, not only from battles and, you know, prisoners probably being executed, but it dealt with diseases, killing even a small number of children, families there, soldiers' families. And people say that you can still hear the echoes of children crying and soldiers talking on the fort on this island. The guardhouse, aka basically the fucking dungeon, people have experienced cold spells even during the hottest months of summer and hearing cries, screams, and stuff like that. Now, another story about it, just like there's a lot of activity going on around here, is a resort, because now it's a big tourist destination, and there's a place called Mission Point Resort, which is located on a bluff on the east side of the island. And the first story I saw was about a man named Harvey who was rejected by his girlfriend during a proposal in front of their friends. And distraught, he apparently jumped off a cliff. This gets a little murky because there's multiple stories. One of the stories says he jumped off a cliff. Another story says that he hung himself. And another story said he shot himself. And not only that, there's some legends that say he was killed by his girlfriend and her secret lover, who she was having an affair, and that's why she rejected Harvey in the first place.
I don't see how any of those can be connected.
Yeah.
That's a thread of logic.
Because there's a story that he was reportedly shot in the back of the head. Now, I don't know how I feel about this, because there's just so many different theories, and I looked around to see if I could find a murder or a suicide in that time, and I could not. So it could just be, you know, made-up story. But people claim Harvey's ghost haunts this resort, and people have said that he's not exactly like a mean ghost, that he's just kind of a prankster, and he's just like a happy ghost that just, you know, takes people's items and just hides them or turns on the lights while they're asleep. So he's just a practical joker, it seems like. No harm, no foul. The only weird story I saw, besides just the moving of people's objects, is he closes doors as well. But some people have speculated that there's a bed that's bolted to the floor of this resort because it shakes so violently while people sleep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. And there's another ghost story that I read, and it's about a little girl named Lucy, and people have claimed to see her frolicking around different fields and different little parks in the area. And her story is that her parents left to tend to business, and Lucy got really sick, and she passed before her parents could come back. There's also a few cryptid sightings in the area. They basically, in the Greater Lake area, have their own version of the Loch Ness Monster, which they call Bessie.
Oh, that's where that comes from. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, the first sighting was in 1793. While shooting ducks north of Sandusky, Ohio, the captain of a sloop named Felicity startled a snake-necked creature described as more than a rod, 16 feet high. And then another crew in 1817 saw the same thing, and they reported this being 30 to 40 feet long. And then, basically, there's just numerous sightings of it, and they all describe it as, you know, long, tall, basically like a Loch Ness Monster. Now, this is my favorite part of this, is that in one of these stories, one of the earlier stories, I believe the 1817 one, is these people took out muskets and shot at it.
As you do back then.
Yeah. It was two French settlers. When they encountered the monster, they basically shot at it, and apparently it fell, and then it kind of came back up, And it scared the shit out of these brothers, and they just basically fled.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, if you're hunting for, you see something big, you're like, you know, that's dinner tonight. And then shoot it, and then it gets back up, and you're like, that's not dinner tonight. Fuck this shit. We're out.
Yeah, no, peace out. Fuck this. I'm out. I'm not fucking, like, if I saw a gigantic fucking lizard swimming, like, even if I saw an alligator, I wouldn't be like, you know what? I'm gonna shit at this fucking alligator. No, I'd be like, I'm staying on the boat. Let's go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Much less something three times its size.
Yeah. They were definitely much braver than, I think, either one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Or much dumber.
or much dumber, for sure. I remember I went on a crocodile or a tour of the bayou in Louisiana somewhere, and the tour guide was just kind of, you know, telling us about the alligators and crocodiles or whatever the fuck they were, and he started throwing marshmallows into the lake, like as you do, to condition them, and then he started he bent over, like half of his body was like over the guardrail, like reaching into the water, like, hey there little buddy, like petting the alligator on the tail and on the head and shit. And I was just like, the whole time I was thinking to myself, like, I'm gonna be, because I was sitting next to the steering wheel, I'm like, I'm gonna be the new captain of this ship, and when that happens, we're peacing the fuck out, we're not staying here. I don't know, it's just I guess at that point you can, like, sort of trust the gators to not bite your head off, but I'm not going to take that chance. Not really going to take that chance. yeah, random story on the side.
Basically, this, there's a lot of activity here, and the finally end it is that there is also our very first story about the UFO over the Greater Lake Area. Felix Moncla, where the plane, plane disappeared.
Yeah, we'd like backtrack the date a little bit to where the production model was like ended at a certain year, and that was the same year where it crash landed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of fucking activity going on in this area. And
yeah,
I think this is like the next stories are just kind of honestly a segue into Georgia land, to Lake Lanier. We've all heard the story of the Lady of the Lake. Not the ones that are going to give you Excalibur, but, you know, the hauntings. There's actually two stories,
right?
And one of them is in Dallas, and this was actually reported by Dallas News. The written tale was based on what Gus Malloy, former director of displays for Neiman Marcus in the 1940s. Basically, what Malloy saw was a young girl walking around, and he picked her up. And she was just like, can you take me home? And when he took her home to like a suburb outside of Dallas, she just disappeared. And this picked up traction, and it kind of just became a, you know, Dallas folklore. Now, this is the only thing that, you know, it's kind of like weird to me, is that nobody describes this person consistently. There's all sorts of stories. There's a story of her being wrapped in a raincoat, a story being of her in a wedding dress, a story of just like different color skirts. Like, nobody has a consistent story. The only consistent thing is they see a woman, they pick her up, and they drive her to a place, and she just fucking evaporates and disappears. So yeah,
that is very odd.
And now there's another one, and it is in New Jersey. And basically, there's not a lot of information on this, but the Lady in Blue And she's basically just wanders around a lake close to a college and trips people. Sorry, that's anticlimactic. That's all I see is that she trips people.
Well, you know, that's one way to get your message across, I guess.
And the thing about that is like with Ladies of the Lake, there's so many of those lady on the road, lady next to the lake, lady this, lady that, that people pick up like hitchhikers and they take them home and they disappear or they, or the person that picks them up goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
And there's basically, it's like one of the oldest folklores that I know. It's a good one. It's scary if used right. It's a scary trope if used correctly.
It is for sure. Hold on. Did I, before we move on, did I tell you about the random girl that I picked up off of the country road?
Yeah. I remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah. She was some kind of religious nutso. Like, I couldn't make out what the fuck message she was trying, but she didn't evaporate from my car. I eventually took her to a hotel and she got a room on her own. And I was like, have fun. Good luck with your life. After an hour of dealing with her incoherency.
I remember that story. Like, yeah, she was like crazy. She didn't know which hotel she was in. Just like a bunch of craziness. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, that was an interesting
night. And that's not the only time you've dealt with a crazy person, like, in your car. You just, seriously, don't pick up any more people.
I haven't since.
The religious lady was, like, the final straw.
No, there was one, there was actually one other after. And that was an unavoidable situation. That was it was when I was moving out of that apartment. And it was like, I think it was like 6 a.m. and there was a guy and a girl arguing outside of their car, literally right in front of the driveway that I was supposed to pull into. And so I couldn't move. So I just had to like stay there, wait for them to move. And then they didn't. The girl walked around to the driver's seat, took off in the car, and I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta give this guy a ride. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I gave him a ride, and it turned out to be, I didn't get all the details, but this is not the first time she's been like super crazy, and that he's called the cops on her before. And so he did it again that night, and the cops arrived in force. Like, there was like ambulances and multiple cop cars and all this shit. I'm like, I don't want any part of this. I just want to go home and sleep because I've been moving my shit around all night. I can't do this right now. So I never got the full story. He even offered to take me out to like Buffalo Wild Wings. I was just like, I'll hit you up on that. And I never got that.
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You fucking, no, fuck that shit.
Yeah, thanks. Hard pass. Now,
while we're talking about Lady in the Lakes, there's one more Lady of the Lake in America. And it is in Georgia. And not only is there a Lady in the Lake, there's all sorts of weird shit going on in Georgia at Lake Lanier.
I've heard about some of it, but I haven't looked into the whole story.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
on these things, but it keeps trending on Twitter, and people say don't go to Lake Lanier.
After reading this, fuck that, I'm not going anywhere there. There's been let's start it off. There has been 145 drownings and 57 boating accidents since 1999.
Wow, that's a pretty high
amount
for 20 years.
And this comes from Newsweek. This is because it pops up a lot, but this is several cases that happened last summer in 2019. And this is them. May 9th, two boaters went missing after a boat crash. The body of one boater, a 59-year-old, was recovered, but the second body has not been found, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And then, not even a month later, on May 29th, two adult men drowned. The deaths were unrelated. It was reported that alcohol is typically a factor in adult drowning, but in these deaths, it was seemingly not the cause. And then in June, a man named Corey Brown, who was 28, jumped in Lake Lanier to save a distressed friend. The man was said to have jumped in the water and never appeared again. Sonar devices and planes were used, but they never found the body.
Wow. So they brought up the planes and everything.
Yes. And in 2011, there was a record amount of freak accidents where there were 17 deaths, including a 9-year-old boy. So there's a lot of shit going on there. A lot of bad shit happening at Lake Lanier. But let's talk about the history of it. In the 1950s, 1940s, Atlanta and Georgia's just growing exponentially. It's like, especially Atlanta. So they needed to figure out a way to get water to them. Enough water, you know, because Atlanta's a big fucking city. Even back then, it was pretty fucking big.
Yeah.
So the government started buying up land, and they bought over 50,000 acres, relocating over 700 families to make this lake. And they did it very quickly. Like, they rushed. This was an expedited process. I mean, it's not like it happened over 3 months. It took like 5 years to do it, but that's still pretty fucking fast, especially when you're building a fucking lake and a dam and all sorts of shit. So this included digging up graves in cemeteries where people were laid to rest, and buying up all sorts of structures, even in deep valleys, and basically even a racetrack. And, you know, some of these buildings got disassembled because they were high up where a boat could hit them, but a lot of them just got abandoned, just like completely abandoned. People left, like the racetrack's still there, apparently. And in these deep valleys, they flooded it with water. So people say that if you dive down in there, you can find just like broken roads, buildings, racetracks, houses. It's like a whole little society down there. Maybe that's the Atlantis we've been talking about, is fucking Lake Lanier. Maybe that's where all these things happen. Because maybe. This is where it could be. This is where it gets a little weird to me. Because the high amount of drownings that are happening there.
Yeah.
A lot of these drownings happen in good conditions. Like, there's no turbulent weather. And they're close to the shore. It's not like a lot of these drownings that I read happen like literally just off the shore, not in the middle of the fucking lake. And a lot of these people were, you know, good swimmers or above average swimmers. But some of the claims of these people that have survived, like they have almost drowned, and they claim that they have felt hands on them. On them, trying to pull them down.
No thanks.
Yeah. And some people have felt like all the air has left their lungs, and they just feel like immediately sapped of energy. They feel just exhausted. And the people that did not survive, that drowned off the shore, some of their bodies have been found far, far away from the original location that they drowned, like on the other end of the lake. Now, that's not the only strange thing happened. Remember how I said there's like a lot of freak boat accidents? So a lot of boaters, you know, people piloting or driving watercrafts, claim that like dangerous waves would just kind of appear out of nowhere. Yeah, just dangerous waves would be like super calm. They'd be riding around in their boat. And next thing you know, fucking crazy rogue waves start fucking hitting them.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at a map and like Lake Lanier is pretty big, but like even in a lake, that you'd have to cause waves. Right.
Like what happened at that, you know, Trump boat rally where all these big boats were passing by and just, you know, causing lots of disruption.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, those resulted in some boats sinking, smaller boats, but yeah, no fatalities. But yeah, just in the middle of a lake where you're not going to have parades going on, just people camping for the weekend, dicking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen.
Now, let's talk about some other weird occurrences that, you know, haven't happened exactly inside the lake, but around it. And these are unsolved cases, by the way. But the first one is Kelly Nash, who was last seen at his home in the early morning of Monday. I believe this is 2015. His girlfriend said he woke up around 4 a.m. and he was coughing and sneezing, and he said he wasn't feeling well. So they went back to bed. When she woke up again around 7:30, Nash was gone. He left behind his wallet, phone, ID, even his truck. He was, she waited around until like 9 o'clock at night. Then she called the police and was just like, hey, my boyfriend's missing. So he was missing for about a month when a fisherman came across his body. It was unidentified, but they were able to figure it out eventually because of his clothes and his tattoos that matched like the description that they were given. There was no trauma to him. The only thing that happened was a single gunshot to the head.
Oh, wow.
They basically, it's, you know, unresolved. They never ruled out foul play, but they never ruled out suicide either. And then another case, and this one involves a high school student, Hannah Truelove. She went missing from her apartment complex, which was near Lake Lanier, where she lived with her mother on the morning of August 24th, 2012. The following day, Hannah's body was found in a wooded area by the lakeside by another resident. And what that resident discovered was Hannah Truelove with multiple stab wounds. Called the police. They were not able to conclusively say that those stab wounds were the actual cause of death. So she was stabbed multiple times, but they were like, no, we're not sure if that's how she died. What makes this a little more creepy was a series of tweets Hannah had made on Twitter shortly before her death. And it was just, you know, kind of like saying, so scared right now. And implying that there was a stalker that was, you know, stalking Hannah. But another weird thing was Hannah's father would later claim that his daughter had made no mention of being in under any duress and had not seemed any different than how she usually was, or even more upset the days leading up to her disappearance. This case is still unresolved.
Damn. I was going to ask with the last case, like I can't imagine there's a history with like a suicide cult in this area.
No. Right?
Yeah, but then like that last story is just like, you know, that's obviously not really a suicide.
Yeah, no, that's not a suicide. So this is the last story that kind of connects to the lady in the lakes. On April 1958, a young woman who worked at the Riverside Military Academy, going by the name of Delilah Parker Young, and her friend Susie Roberts headed off to Three Gables in Dawsonville in Susie's 1954 Ford for a night out. They would never return. A subsequent investigation into their disappearance discovered that they had visited a gas station that night and left without paying. And the only clue at the scene were skid marks across the road, which seemed to suggest that the car skidded off Lanier Bridge. So basically, they didn't pay the gas clerk, just sped off and then skidded off the bridge and just dived into Lake Lanier. Divers were brought in to search for the car and were unable to locate it due to poor visibility. That kind of fucking happens when there's an entire goddamn town and woods surrounding it in a lake. And yeah. the murky waters, right, and the masses sheared off tree trunks that litter the lake. So there's just trees. There's like entire forest under there too. For 18 months, the police were unable to find any clues and no trace of the missing women or the car. But then a fisherman named C.A. Simpson made a gruesome discovery when the decomposed body of what was thought to be Delilah Parker Young suddenly floated up from the depths. Oddly, the corpse, which could not be positively identified at the time, was missing two toes from the left foot and both hands.
Oh, shit. Someone likes extremities? Yeah.
And nobody has any idea why the body was missing the hands or the toes, or what the cause of death may have been.
Yeah.
So basically, they didn't know if it was her, so they buried her in an unmarked grave. So basically, this mystery goes on for years. Delilah's buried in an unmarked grave. Susie's Robert's body remains missing despite repeated searches until November of 1990, when construction crews who were expanding Lanier Bridge dug up dredging at the bottom of the lake in order to set up the expansion of these bridge, they uncovered a rusted hulk of the 1954 Ford, which held within the remains of a human body. The car had been hidden within tree trunks, mud, and other debris in 90 feet of water on a deep slope. The body was horribly decomposed to the point of being unidentifiable, but the belongings found in it, including a purse, rings, watch, were able to be conclusive to prove that the body was the missing Susie Roberts. In light of the discovery, it was concluded also that the other body had been Delilah Parker Young, so the headstone was changed accordingly, and Susie Roberts was buried next to her. Interesting, though, although the deaths of Delilah Parker and Susie Roberts is just a mostly forgotten case, it has spawned some of the most frightening local legends. It is said that the ghastly young woman, dressed in blue and missing her hands, can be sometimes seen walking down the links of Lake Lanier Bridge and is said to be the ghost of Delilah Parker Young, since she had been dressed in a blue dress that night. So she is the lady of the lake. She is the one that's hunting for her hands.
Wait, hold on. Were the hands missing from the body?
Apparently the hands were still there.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, it's the other, she got her pair from the first one, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to go anywhere near.
No. But it gets better. Many people believe that it is the spirit of Delilah that is pulling them. Remember how we talked about the hands grabbing people and pulling them under earlier? Many people believe that it is Delilah that is the one pulling swimmers underwater. My only problem with that is that she's missing her hands, so I don't know if she's just grabbing them with her teeth or just, like, you know, putting them in a leg lock and dragging them down, but that's my take on it. And there's been the occasional reports of a mysterious raft equipped with a lantern on a pole, ridden by a shadowy figure that uses the pole to push it along, which allegedly appears and disappears out of nowhere.
Oh, shit.
In one particular account, two fishermen saw the ghost raft while out on the lake fishing at 1 a.m. on a cold, like, fall night. Mm-hmm. And the mysterious raft was just, you know, kind of riding around, like, coming towards them, but it was, like, a good bits away. And the rider just kind of stopped. And then he started shouting at the fishermen. And, you know, you're fishing and some weirdo's fucking yelling at you from a distance in the dark. You know, that's already unsettling. But he then proceeded to jump off the raft into freezing water to swim towards them.
Yeah. I think at that point, was it? Yeah, I would run.
I would just fucking bail.
I would say,
yeah.
Fuck.
So, that's what they did. This alarmed the two fishermen that quickly, you know, packed up the tackle box, pulled their lines out, and just fucking booked it. And while booking it, they turned around and shined their spotlight on the area where they saw this mysterious raft. And what they saw was nothing. No raft. No lantern. No mysterious, creepy stranger swimming towards them. Not even the disruption of water. It was like it just vanished in thin air. Just like completely gone. And they were just kind of like, what the hell is going on here?
That's a little bit haunted. That sounds like, well, I don't know about the jumping into the water and swimming towards them, but I was going to say that sounds like the River of Styx, the pathway to the underworld.
Yeah. Now they are.
But it's kind of weird that, like, the boatman to the underworld would, like, jump out after people. I thought their job was to ferry people, not to retrieve.
Now, the other stories of this are not supernatural. They're just about large catfish. Some people have said that they've seen catfish the size of, like, teenage boys, like preteen boys. Yeah.
Damn.
And it's been
It's
been speculated that might be what happened to Delilah Parker Young's hands, as a catfish ate it off. Like, I think catfish are disgusting, and this gives me even more reason to hate them.
Yeah, I mean, they are scavenger fish, so that could be. Also, I do live, well, I have been to a lake, well, a couple of lakes in Atlanta, or in the Georgia area. And one of them has pretty big fish, actually. It's kind of it's a pretty small lake. It's a privately owned lake, but there are really big fish. So if there's big fish in a tiny little lake, and Lake Alatoona is, I mean, it just looks like one of the bigger lakes in Atlanta, or I'm sorry, I keep saying Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, there could be giant catfish. I'd believe it.
Yeah, giant catfish, just, you know, eating people, scavenging, just biting off people's hands, pulling people under, like all these stories. That's the connection to me. And that's where I'm going with it, is that these aren't ghosts or spirits. They're just giant fucking catfish, and they're sorcerers. And they're fucking pulling people down with their huge catfish bodies and eating them. And that's by no yeah, oh, and then just dragging catfish. The remains after they get done to the opposite end of the lake. But no, seriously, mm-hmm. I think like Lanier is fucking cursed as fuck.
Yeah. It sounds like a place I would never go. Ever. And I have questions about all lakes in Georgia, because I'll share the story that I was kind of telling you about before we started this, but I've lived in various places in Georgia, and one of them is somewhere east of Atlanta. I can't remember where this lake was. It was either Conyers or Social Circle, somewhere out in the rural area. And it was this newly developed kind of subdivision area. And there was a lake where I lived for, this is just right in the backyard of the house I lived in for about a year. And I was a kid. I was like less than 10 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was, I don't know, playing in the backyard or something. And it was not quite dark, but it was like evening-ish, like sort of like the sun was starting to set a little bit in the distance. And I remember seeing this, well, I say seeing, like in quotations, I didn't see anything, but it was this distortion. I couldn't really make it out, kind of moving towards me. I was about like halfway towards the lake between the house and the yard, or between the house and the lake. And as I either approached it or it came towards me or both. And when it got next to me, I felt like I couldn't breathe. I had a very hard time breathing, like I was like choking. And I had to run away to get away from this thing. I was just like scared to shit. I didn't know what was happening. And the choking didn't really subside until I got much closer to the house. So it took me a good 10, 20 feet to get away from the sensation of just not being able to breathe. And I never really went towards the lake after that point.
I don't fucking blame you.
That was the only weird thing I experienced at that lake, because I just never went towards it again. But it was, I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if it was a vengeful spirit. I don't know if it was an inadvertent, you know, hey, sorry, I'm a ghost, I didn't mean to choke you to death kind of thing. I don't know.
That's fucked.
It was very fucked. There was also one point in the year where there was just like a flock of bats that kind of hung out in the garage for a little while. I don't know why, but they didn't stay for too long. They kind of flew off after like pest control mm-hmm. came or something. But I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I distinctly remember that if I had stayed in that same spot, I would have
choked. Like
I couldn't breathe at all. Yeah.
You especially don't want to go to any fucking lakes in Georgia with your experiences.
Yeah.
Fuck that. No. I probably wouldn't go to a lake, period, even if it was in a different country with that experience. I would have been like, mm-hmm. Nope, not doing it. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard pass. I do have, actually just thought of another story about a lake. This one no hauntings or whatever, but I went camping in Alatoona Lake in a state park up there, which is west, a good deal west of Lake Lanier. So I would guess to made like 50 miles west or something like that. And just by chance, I had gotten a camping spot, and then someone else or a couple other people got a camping spot right next to mine. Like, I thought I had reserved the whole thing to myself for like a couple days, but turns out these two people ruined my peace and quiet, but they turned out to be really cool. And we kind of like hung out for the night, but they went rafting on the lake in the middle of the night in Alatoona Lake. And, I mean, they made it back. I just wasn't sure if they were going to make it back when they left, but they were gone for like an hour or two or something, just hanging out, listening to music and shit. So I don't know. I guess Alatoona Lake might be a little bit less haunted, but, stick to the, safe side and just don't go swimming or boating in lakes in Georgia. Fuck that.
No. 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 Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. I mean, all the stuff I read, like the Great Lake area thing, it's like creepy, you know, hauntings and stuff like that. But there doesn't seem to be anything out there that wants to kill you. Like Harvey's just a playful ghost, just, you know, shaking beds. Lucy's just frolicking through fields. You know, I'm sure there's some, lots of tragic people moaning and stuff, but there doesn't seem to be something that's actively trying to kill you. Like Lake Lanier.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. Like, it could be, you know, Delilah Parker Young, the Lady of the Lake, pulling people down. Causing violent waves in search for her hands. It could be, you know, all they maybe missed a fucking couple of graves in these little small towns that are fucking underneath the water. There could be, you know, something like just pissed off, like Mother Nature spirit, something out there of that. Pissed off that, hey, you built a fucking lake where there's not supposed to be a lake. There could be all sorts of things that, you know, is the motivation for this. But all I know is that it's creepy as fuck. I'm not going anywhere near Lake Lanier. And I'm going to keep a close eye on it because, as you said, it's trended on Twitter multiple times. And there's multiple stories. This isn't just like something like tragedy happens like once every 10 years. There seems to be a lot of bad shit going there, and I don't know if it's just poorly designed, if there's just whatever it is, because it is a man-made lake.
Somebody fucked up the blueprints.
Maybe it's a little too narrow. Maybe there's too many hills in the area. Maybe they didn't do enough, that it's just there's some kind of disruption there that's just fucking shit up.
Yeah, there's also kind of a long history in the South of white men driving out the Native Americans, and Georgia could have been a big hot spot for that back in the day, and there's a lot of history that's just not recorded because, you know, the conquerors write history, as the saying goes, and who the fuck wants to record that shit if you're the victors, you know? So maybe Georgia's just like a bad place, and a lot of bad shit happened in the lakes in that state. You know,
yeah,
I don't know. That's my guess. That's my
mother's nature's way of just being like, hey, you don't get to like put lakes wherever the fuck you want them. I don't care how big your civilization is growing.
Well, that spells some bad news for California. Like, they're draining that shit.
I mean,
they're in for it in like for the next couple of decades at least.
I am going to go the route of catfish or sorcerers. And They are the ones doing this. They are. Everybody thinks that they're just fucking scavengers, and nobody takes catfish seriously. There's a reason why they get so fucking big. They're fucking draining souls.
Do you remember Uncle Bud's
catfish restaurant? It's why I don't eat catfish.
That, you know, and they closed that entire fucking restaurant chain down for a reason. Because the catfish were sick and tired of the humans exploiting them and committing genocide. This is their revenge. The sorcerer catfish of Lake Lanier are just, they're just on a undying quest to destroy humanity. And I mean, who can blame them?
Really? My question is just like, how did there become such a big population of catfish in Lake Lanier? Because it is a man-built lake. I don't know enough about the ecology of fish. Did they put them there? Like, when they built the lake, just be like, here, fish, you know, go propagate. Let's give these rednecks some fun.
I like to imagine that, like, oh, this is dark, but, like, the natives who got driven off the land, like, gathered up some amount of catfish from, like, the region of Georgia somewhere. And then when they heard about the construction of Lake Lanier, they were like, all right, this is our chance to get revenge. And they just unleashed the catfish that they had harbored and protected for generations in their water tanks or whatever. and the fucking catfish, this is their revenge. They're just eating people and drowning people and using their magic to fuck with them.
Or they fucking teleported there. The catfish are interdimensional beings, and they just teleported into Lake Lanier. They're just like, oh, these humans want to build their own fucking lake. Well, let's fuck some shit up.
There you go. The catfish are way more intelligent.
They're more intelligent than us, and here we are just fucking bad-mouthing them and fucking just going and fucking the dumpster of the lakes. And just talking shit about them. I talk shit about catfish because I think catfish is fucking disgusting.
It's bland at the very least. It's just very tasteless.
Yeah, I don't understand the, like, why anybody, you know, I can understand going to fucking fish them for sport, but why would you fucking eat it? And why would you make a restaurant based on catfish? Because I remember Uncle Bud's, and that's actually what ruined me on catfish. I died at once. I was like,
yeah, it was a, it was an interesting, and they had like the hats.
Oh, I know. That was so fucking weird. That was weird. Weird as hell.
Super.
Maybe
super
Uncle Bud's was like their temples. Maybe Uncle Bud's was their temples, and somebody found out on it, so the catfish shuttered it. Like, they, like, hired the humans. They were in control of it the entire time. And they were just like, oh, shit, somebody's catching on to us. It was like somebody like Andy. Just feel like, you know what?
Just one of the truth seekers out there.
Is just like, yeah, fishing from the astral realm. And they control Uncle Bud, and they're sacrificing humans and you know, draining their souls, and that's why they get to be so fucking big. And then, fucking, they closed it down, and they just went back to lying low. Now they're just fucking killing people in Lake Lanier.
I mean, it's one of the biggest lakes in the state, so you gotta go to water, you gotta get water from somewhere. And once all the other minor sources are dried up, you're going to end up at Lake Lanier, and the catfish are going to be waiting for us. And it's just the perfect long game that they have developed to exterminate.
They even have telepathic powers, and that's why, you know, people that aren't necessarily on the lake but in a proximity of the lake have unresolved crimes.
That's right.
That's it.
I think we've cracked the
fucking
case.
And I just, you know, and I found it really interesting, like all the stuff that happened there. like it was always just like, oh, this is kind of fucking weird. And then I read more, I was like, wow, this is really weird. And then I kept going, I was like, wow, this place is fucked. Like I think yeah. that Lake Lanier makes all the other lake stories, haunted lakes, like even the Great Lake stories, and just like it just makes them all just look like nothing, just like meh, whatever. And
yeah, especially with that the fisherman yeah. story where they saw yeah. the raft, like that immediately, like that has all the symbolism of the River mm-hmm. of Styx. And it's just like, if that's in any way manifesting in our reality, like you don't yeah. want any part of that. Like, just
yeah, you don't want to fuck with that at all. You don't know. No, you don't want to fuck yeah. with that at all. And that's yeah. That's why how I feel about it. Like haunted lakes. Go to the Great Lakes, hang out there. Go to the Dallas Lake. Go to the New Jersey Lake and get tripped by some lady dressed in a blue dress. But stay the fuck away from Lake Lanier. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steer, yeah, get the fuck out. Don't even go. Yeah,
don't even
go. Miles.
Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. You think you're going to get like some sort of Excalibur? All you're going to get is a psychic attack from a catfish. This is no. Right. This is no King Arthur shit. This isn't even Monty Python King Arthur shit. This is just dark shit. Like,
this is just like the Dark Lord of Sauron yeah. kind of shit. Like, you don't peer into yeah. the eye of Sauron. You get yeah, fucked you get for life.
Done. All right. Yeah. You got anything?
I do not. I will say that I am working on some short stories involving the yeah. paranormal. And I'm in the process of writing a couple of them right now. And once they are closer to done or ready to be released, I will let you all know then. But until then, yeah. just know that I am writing about all the kinds of weird shit yeah. that we talk
and,
about.
And Andy will be back on next week. And then after that, we're going to start having some guests on the program. Speaking of horror writers and paranormal writers, actually, because I write horror as well. That's what gets me interested in this shit. And I actually reached out to mm-hmm. A friend of mine who's going to come on the show real soon. So
cool.
We're the high kind. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. We are on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're even on Amazon Music. And give us faves, likes, stars. Helps people find the show. Give us a nice review. And if you want to reach us or just check out some more material, go to thehighkind.com. And have a great night.